Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass.
Driven with SunPass.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
We're at the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli for the final show ever in this actual studio. It'll get demolished starting Monday, and a renovation will begin. This will be a brand new place.
I wonder if we're going to get a roof.
That's a, maybe start with a ceiling.
It's going to be retractable. You know what I mean?
We got a retractable roof right now. They can take it off and put it in.
I don't really want a retractable one. I just kind of want a permanent one so that, you know, when it does rain, the water doesn't just flow in here like it has on occasion lately.
I think they're going to have that licked by then, hopefully.
That would be nice.
Maybe.
That would be nice. Maybe they can put some
I think this place has a lot of character.
Steel panels up there.
I like the character that
some
we
gutters.
Have.
Yeah. You know, be nice.
Well, this has been the room for Jaguars Radio since the start of the team, right? 1995.
Long time ago.
So a lot of radio has happened in this room.
If these walls could speak, forget about what was said on air. How about during the breaks?
Ooh. Plenty to get to tonight. Let's open the phone lines tonight. Why not? 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. It's the off season. Summertime is here. And we'll get your thoughts on the Jaguars tonight. We'll take a look a little bit later at training camp battles, some key ones coming up at the end of July. I know, Tony, you're excited and ready to talk about training camp battles at the end of June. We're going to do that tonight. And we'll go around the National Football League as well. Tony, are you excited about that?
Listen.
Don't give me that look.
I live for this. This is what I live for. I'm ready.
That's positive.
JP, am I never not positive? That's a kind of a double. That's a double negative, I guess. But am I ever not positive?
I'll try it again.
Am I ever not positive?
What
like
is that?
All the time.
Wondering. I was trying to think the other day. You have the acclimation period. You know, when
Jeff's
training,
jumping right over my.
Go
for
I am.
It. Yeah, done,
because
Tony.
it's just meaningless banter.
Next.
When's that ever stopped us before?
Never. The acclimation period, is it 3 days?
I believe it is. Yes.
Okay, it's a 3-day period to where they have to kind of get, you know, accustomed being on the practice field again before they can put pads on. And so the day that, I mean, if fans want to come out and watch practice, mark your calendars when the pads go on, you want to be there. Because that's when you're going to really start to tell exactly some of these key battles that we're talking about, they're going to start to play out. You know, and the key battles, I mean, are very, very obvious on the offensive line. I mean, start right there with the big guys. Left tackle, left guard. Who's it going to be? We don't know. And once left tackle is figured out, is Luke Joko a viable candidate?
Whoa.
To compete?
You've already given the job to Beecham.
Yeah.
So there's not really a competition then.
Yeah, you weren't here when he already anointed Beecham as the left tackle.
When was that?
I'm not saying that it's not going to be competition, but how can it be real? I mean, how can it be a real, true, tried and test competition?
Well, he's going
to
be ready for
to
camp.
Where they battle throughout training camp. You can't do that. You just can't.
You can't do it anymore because of the limited practices and how few practices you actually get before.
And you won't allow your offensive line time to gel.
But the old days you could when you were doing two-a-days.
Yeah.
For 2 to 3 weeks, well, you're 95, 6 weeks, you know, of those, you had a lot more time to let battles play out because the reps you were getting with the two-a-days and the multiple practices. I mean, like 2-a-days were longer than 3 weeks because it went through 2 weeks before the first preseason game and went through until the third preseason game.
Yeah, that's basically when they ended was when you broke camp.
You broke camp after the second preseason game and you got ready.
You still had 2-a-days that third week of the preseason.
No, remember the third week is when you started doing the game week preparation.
But I remember back in Coughlin, I think we had one or two 2-a-days.
That doesn't count. I mean, you have to throw that out the door.
We did. We had like one or two 2-a-days in that third week, and then we broke camp, and then after that, then it was back to the, you know.
Then it was like 4-hour practices. So you still did 2-a-days, but it was just one practice.
Did them all together.
2-a-days in one session.
Hmm. But you got better.
I don't know about that.
No, not really.
At some point, physically beat up.
At some point, there was diminishing returns, but I'm not sure when.
Right. So
I could tell you I hit it. In, you know, 95, 96, yeah, I hit it. to where it was counterproductive for the body, to where you didn't feel like you were getting stronger for the regular season. And it was interesting. I don't know if you guys had a chance to read Adrian Peterson's comments this week.
We'll get to that a little later, but yes.
You know, absolutely. The kind of – he was, I think, right in line with what a lot of veterans, how they feel about, you know, preparing their body for a regular season. And that's why, I mean, I'm glad that they changed the rules the way they have, even though Tony is against it. I was always for what they do right now.
I'm against – the only thing I'm against is –
Tony's only saying that now because he's not out there anymore.
That's
back
right.
In the day, he would have been like, we don't need 2 days.
No, I don't think you need 2 days. I'm fine with 1 a day practices and a walkthrough. I've said that since when I was a player, and I still believe that. What I don't like about the rule, the new CBA, is the limitations in the offseason. I think it's counterproductive to young players and development, especially of the offensive line.
All right,
line.
So I got a question
and
to ask on that point.
Hold on. Let me go both.
Go ahead.
You can ask it. And then the other thing that I don't think is good is I don't think limiting a team to 14 padded practices during a 17-week season, and if you make the playoffs, which the 14 count for those two, possibly 3 weeks in the playoffs, maybe four if you go to the Super Bowl, to get better at the game of football. I've always, if I had a magic wand and I was in charge of the league, a team would be allowed to have one padded practice
a week.
Every week of the season.
So you're looking at 16 instead of 14, or 17 count the bye week.
Or if you have you make the playoffs, it could be 20.
Okay, now here's my
just
my,
one.
My
I,
question
I don't think
to
you.
You
need to do it twice, Jeff. I don't think you need
no,
to do
I'm
it twice.
I'm with you, but the question I have to use it if limiting the off season to 14 practices.
I mean, the in-season's the 14 practices.
Well, I mean,
OTAs
yeah, the OTA
15,
stuff.
I think 15.
You know, and everybody was kind of complaining about, well, the OTAs.
No, I'm not even talking OTAs. I'm fine with that.
No, but I'm going back to OTAs because, you know, there was a lot of people that made comments about how, you know, the limited access with players in the off-season, and you've made this comment before, the limited access to players in the off-season is ridiculous. And I think that from a meeting standpoint, the players should be allowed to meet with the coaches.
Working
to be able
out.
To get the playbook.
Yeah. How
you
about
know,
working
to,
out?
To go out on the field, you know, maybe and throw a ball without having it be an organized team drill. But if it was so small, then why are teams across the league, not just the Jaguars, eliminating an OTA day or eliminating a mini camp day? If those days are so precious.
You want to know why? Yeah. You want to know why? Because it's the same thing when we played. I don't care if you have 5 practices or 50. Coaches think they're throwing you a bone when you let the last one off, and that will never change. I don't care. Listen, I've never been a big OTA guy. I know they're necessary evil. I don't care if it's 10, 12, 15. What I think is ridiculous as a professional football player or any professional in any industry that there are rules that say you can't come and work on your craft and get better. You can't even come into the weight room and work with a coach, the strength coach, to get better.
Yeah,
you can't come as a young player and sit down with your position coach and go over technique and what you need to do to get better.
Yeah.
That is stupid.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the on the field stuff that they've instituted with the CBA, I think it's fine.
The off season, but not the regular season. I disagree. Yeah.
Devil's advocate though on that. Would there be some teams that took advantage of that rule?
Absolutely.
Sure.
That's why it's there.
That's why they had it, yeah. I mean, because
but
the coaches
you know,
like
you
Tom
Paulson.
You
know how you fix that? Is say you can interact with a coach in the weight room, in the meeting room, and you can have organized individual drills with other players on the field. No coaches can be on the field. Just say that. So that way, instead of – Blake and the receivers having to go into a local high school to throw together, they can go on their own dang practice field right here. So just
limit. It'd be safer.
It'd be much safer. Just limit the coaches. Just say there's coaches cannot be on the field with the players except for 14 days, whatever the number is. But if you want to go work out starting in January, knock yourself out. If coaches want, you know, and you say, well, then there'll be too many meetings. Okay, limit it to 2 meetings or 1 meeting a week. But to give no access is just – it's your job, first of all.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah,
I agree, because you know, I mean, you've got you know billion-dollar companies that have the best facilities that are available,
and they go to gyms and high schools
right.
to work out.
Yeah, and I think that's not positive.
I'm getting mad. Just it's stupid. It's really stupid. And guess who made those rules?
The players.
It was the players.
Absolutely, they did. They bargained it.
And that was a big win for us players. But to keep the owners get the money, we get a couple less practices.
A reminder, the U.S. men's national team is coming to Jacksonville September 6th for a World Cup qualifier against Trinidad and Tobago. Pre-sale started today. Visit Ticketmaster, and when you get to the match page, use the code J6JAGS. That's J, the number 6, and JAGS. Get the best seats before they go. And SunPass is a proud partner of the Jaguars. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. Remember, single game tickets are on sale now, along with season tickets for the Jags. They'll face the Packers, Vikings, and the defending champion Broncos,
Alabama,
at Everbank Field.
Roll Tide.
Get your seats today at Jaguars.com and help us lock down the bank in 2016. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Haven't had the phone lines open in a while. We'll start with Mike in Mandarin. What's up, Mike? Hello, Mike.
Great start, JP. Great
All
start.
Right, we're off and running. We'll move along to Ron in Gainesville. Ron, good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, fellas. How you guys doing?
Great. What's up?
All right, great. JP, it was a pleasure meeting you out there at practice. It was great to get your insight. I know fellas give you a lot of grief, but it was nice talking to you.
I appreciate that.
My question for you guys tonight was, with all the improvements on paper with this defense, how far do you see them climbing in the rankings in the NFL as far as going from in the 30s to maybe even the teens? And how many wins do you guys see that adding to the overall total for the year?
JP, why don't you go ahead and give us your insight?
Thanks for the call. No, go ahead. They're asking you guys. We already had insight at the practice the other day. So
I'm really curious about your insight here.
No, are you? I don't think you are.
I want to know your insight.
I don't think that's sincere by you.
What does JP say?
That's okay. We're asking you. They're asking you guys.
No, I'd like you to say something. It's your insight.
I don't think he specified Tony or Jeff. I think he said he was just looking for it. So let's hear it, JP.
31st in defense last year?
Well, I'd like your insight. Like, what's the difference and where are they going to go and everything else? Go ahead.
I think with the players they added, there's a possibility they could be in the mid-teens in total defense this year. Why not? You got the playmakers in the back end. You got a pass rush you think's going to be better. But you haven't seen a lot of that on the field in action. A lot of guys who haven't played football in a long time on defense. What is that equal to in wins and losses? You'd hope to think it's 8-8 or better, right? That's my insight. What's your insight, Tony?
That's actually not bad, JP.
Thank you. Tony?
It was long enough to get out there. Listen, I think it's going to be – you're still counting on a lot of young players. And so, I mean, who knows? I mean, it's a wild guess every year, you know, how the rankings are actually going to go, because sometimes defenses – the overall numbers of defenses are better because the way the league is. And sometimes the best defense – in the league, yards-wise and points, would have been, you know, only top 5 or top 10 the year before. So the numbers don't concern me as much. I think what you're going to see, the improvement is on third down, and that's going to make the biggest difference because of the speed that they have on the field and the flexibility of that speed to do a lot of different things in coverage and blitz. And what we've seen early with Ndakwe and Dante Fowler, speed off the edge is always a threat. So I don't know what the number is going to be, but they're going to be better on third down, and because of that, they're going to win more football games. And with the division they're in, you know, I've said it all along, and I'll continue to say it. What the number is, I'm not sure, but they will be contending for the AFC South title when it comes – when the calendar turns December.
Yeah, and how do you put a number on it, though? You know, I mean, wins and losses.
JP did.
Well, that's what everybody wants
to
know.
It's hard to do.
It's impossible to do.
You know, because, you know, the last couple of years, I thought that definitely a couple of years ago this team was going to struggle. And I thought last year I said, okay, 7 wins is achievable. Well, they ended up too short. This year I think 8 or 9 wins is achievable. And the reason I'm probably being a...
I'll ask it this way. I believe the over-under in Vegas is 7.5 or something like that. I'm not sure how they set that. But let's just make it. Maybe it's not. But let's say the over-under is 7. How about that? Would you take the over or the under?
For entertainment purposes only, of course.
Oh, I don't. I
think that they can win more
than
that.
I don't even know how you do that. I mean, but I just know that I heard
about it. In a division that is not particularly strong, right. I think that they can get more than that.
I would take the over, too. But, I mean.
You know, there's a lot of teams in this division they think they can get that this year.
I think every team does realistically believe that, but probably the Titans probably not.
Now, the one question that I have is how quickly can they gel?
I agree. That's a very good point.
A lot of guys from a lot of different places.
Because it's not just the young players that you know that Tony talks about. It's also some new players that are in the fold. You know, Gibson and Malik. You know, how are they going to fit on offense or on defense? Chris Ivory, how's he going to fit on offense? You know, how's the shuffling of the offensive line going to work out? I mean, there's a lot of unknowns, you know, that you know, and I think it was Ron, I believe, made a good point. On paper, it looks better. There's no doubt. But being on paper and being actually in the columns as far as wins and losses, two different things. You know, so I'm cautiously optimistic, I can tell you that.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's try Mike in Mandarin again. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? Sorry for messing up earlier, man. I had it on mute.
All good.
All right, real quick question, and maybe some of you guys can debate about it a little bit. For the first time in a long time, it seems like the Jags are going to be cutting some good players before the season starts. So I'm kind of wondering, in y'all's opinion, who's a player that should probably make the team that's actually not going to make the team? And who's that dark horse, that guy that may be flying under the radar that's going to make a bit of an impact this season?
Appreciate the phone call, and we'll look forward to your insight, gentlemen. Go ahead.
Well, an interesting question. Who is not going to make it that, you know, should make it? I don't know if over the last couple of years I've thought that anybody should have made it. You know, but I think if you look at positions – the one position group I think that's going to have a football player that's going to get let go is probably a defensive tackle. I mean, that's a deep position. You know, you got to look at the deep position. Defensive tackle, cornerback, how are they going to be able to keep all the cornerbacks?
What about wide receiver?
Wide receiver, no doubt.
Wide receiver, but, you know, the ones that are proven that we know, I mean, we expect them to make it. You know, will some of these new guys that they've got, like the kid from UCLA that's got a couple years under his belt, What is his name? 84.
Anyway, Shaq Evans?
Yes, Shaq Evans. Mm-hmm. I mean, a guy that had a very good OTAs and minicamp, looked like a solid player, but, I mean, who are you going to cut to keep a guy like that?
Right.
You know, okay. I mean, that's – you're going to cut Brian Walters, who can return punts, who is dependable on third down, catches everything thrown his way, can play special teams. No. You know? I mean, so – is anybody going to get cut that shouldn't get cut? I wouldn't frame it that way. Are there going to be some good football players cut that should play in this league? Yes, and I think defensive tackle is the position that stands out in my mind most, and also cornerback, because I think there's going to be a corner that's going to get cut. Somebody else is going to pick him up.
About a dark horse, a guy like – what do you think of Bowman, the tight end, the undrafted kid out of South Alabama?
That's a really dark horse.
That's a dark horse.
When I mean by really dark horse, I mean I think it's a really long shot.
It's gonna be tough for any undrafted guy to make it, right?
I think the couple surprises, and I think we've already seen it, is Koyak, tight end.
Yep,
he's looked good now.
What I'm saying.
Had a really good offseason.
I mean, before OTAs, would you have said that's a guy?
No, I would have said I would have said, you know what, just move on, find somebody else.
So I think he has a chance to make a difference and find a place on this team. You know, Ndakwe is a third rounder. I mean, listen, we act like, you know, it's a given that a third rounder, you know, when you draft him, is going to be good. But I think that's going to end up being a very nice guy who's going to be probably more production out of a third round than maybe you expected. I think it'll be interesting to watch him.
Yeah.
Because the one thing he has shown when you watch his college film, he wasn't just a pure athlete rushing the passer. He actually has technique, and he's got some real nice bend to him. I mean, I think he's a little bit more polished, I think, than a lot of guys coming in the NFL. I'm not going to say he's going to get 10 sacks, But I think he's going to have some good numbers, maybe even more than Dante.
You want to put a number out there now?
No.
Come on, Jeff. Let's go.
He still owes me a steak dinner.
I do.
I'll tell you a battle that no one's talking about that I think is really interesting is Corey Grant, Denard Robinson. I don't think both those guys are on the team.
No.
Who wins that kickoff return game?
Well, and it's not just a kickoff return, but Corey Grant, you watch him in OTAs.
He can fly.
He can fly. And if that translates, especially with Denard Robinson's fumbling issues at the end of last year, don't think that's not in the back of the coach's mind.
And they did show up in the minicamp. He had a fumble in minicamp. And then you remember that the general manager pointed out Grant.
How fast he is.
About how fast he is here when he was with us.
So I think that's a battle. Now it's for the – I think Jonas Gray's on this team.
That's the one I wanted you to bring up because that's a guy that I liked last year. He's proven some things when he was with the Patriots. And he's going to be a guy that's going to get a lot of looks in the preseason. Well, he's going to get a lot of looks.
I mean, he's your third back because he's a guy who can, if anything were to happen to Ivory or Yeldon, I mean, he's a guy who you could give 15, 20 carries to. I don't think they're comfortable giving 15, 20 carries to Corey Grant or Denard Robinson.
No, right, but they're very comfortable with them little packages with Corey Grant.
I think it's a – I mean, Denard Robinson's one of the more popular guys. He's a great guy. But I think he has his hands full with the battle that's going to go on the field between him and Corey Grant.
Denard Robinson has to have
a very good camp,
really good camp. He's got to show a couple things. One, he's not going to fumble. Mm-hmm. Number two, that he can be an impactful player as a running back, and then also he has to be better on special teams than he was last year. You know, because he was a personal protector last year. You know, usually personal protectors are considered very trustworthy on special teams. That's not a role that's just given willy-nilly to somebody. You know, somebody that they have a high level of trust in. So can he continue the ascension in his play as he's been able to do, making that transition from a quarterback to a running back to a special teams player? We'll see.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. The phone lines are open. We're back with more Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
And SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. And this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Jeff Loggeman, Jaguars Thursday rolls along. Hey, remember, registration is open now for the second annual Jaguars 5K Stadium Challenge, Saturday, August 13th, under the lights at Everbank Field. Online registration available at firstplacesports.com, 1stplacesports.com. It's Saturday, August 13th.
I'm going to do it.
Early bird discounts available now through June 29th. Not use me. The promo code JAGS5K. You're not doing it,
man.
Lux.
I couldn't do 5K.
I don't like driving 5K.
I'm going to do it.
If I had like a skateboard or something.
Well, it's up ramps and stuff. You got to go
up.
Oh,
it's in the stadium.
Yeah, it's up the ramps and the stadium stairs. I've got no chance of doing that.
I'm going to do it.
It's all over the place. Are you?
Yeah.
When was the last time you do some cardio stuff?
Are you being serious?
Dead serious.
You're going to do it?
Yeah. I ran Monday, Tuesday.
How far?
3.1 miles, 5K.
Wow.
On a treadmill?
Yeah.
Well, this is ramps. Was it elevated at all? Was it inclined?
No.
Oh, see.
Mm. I ran.
You're pretty confident there.
What was your time? 24 minutes. It's the.
Come on, bro.
First of all, I haven't weighed this forever. It's the fastest I've ever run 3 miles.
It's like 8 minute miles.
Yeah, no, it isn't. Actually, it's faster than 8 minute miles.
Yeah, I know. But it's close
to counting.
Yeah, who does math anymore?
No, yeah. I'm going to do it.
I got to see this.
We might do a Jaguars.com video on Tony running.
Let's do it.
Wear a GoPro and everything?
Can I get something for it?
No. A sense of accomplishment?
Notoriety? I don't know. What?
I don't really. Okay. I'm in. I'll do it. August 13th? It'll be during training camp, right?
You need to challenge JP to do it with you.
There we go. Let's have a race, like JP. Yeah.
Who's the best time?
Let's see who has the best
Saturday,
time.
Saturday, August 13th.
JP?
Are you in?
I'm in. I'll be there. What does the winner get? What does the winner get? A big steak.
Winner?
A huge steak.
Loser has to buy a steak dinner for the winner.
Ooh, I like
it. So you're going to get a steak dinner from Logs, and then I'm going to get the steak dinner.
Can I get it on this? The loser buys me dinner also?
No.
No, you're out. You don't like
You can come.
I'll come if I can get a dinner out of it.
No, you know it's going to be beautiful?
What?
I'm going to win. And then I'm going to invite Joe with me. You owe me a steak dinner, and you owe me a steak dinner. I'll transfer one to Joe, and you two are going to buy Joe and I dinner.
All right.
Oh, what a table
with
that.
Joe ain't going to argue with that.
Yeah. What a table that'll be.
I dominate. I guarantee I'll win.
All right. So I am now rooting for Tony to win this.
You?
Yeah, I am because.
What is that supposed to be? Well, you still get dinner.
No, I have to buy my own dinner.
Yeah, and then you have to buy mine the next time.
But then I would have to buy Joe's dinner. And see, you would buy Tony's dinner.
And Joe,
I'm not buying anybody dinner because I'm going
to
win.
Right? I would feel better about having to buy Joe dinner instead of buying Tony dinner. So this kind
of
takes the pressure off. So I'm rooting for Tony.
My heel is feeling better now.
When's the last time
svelte.
You – No, you're not svelte.
I'm
That's
getting
a
there.
Lie.
I'll
That's
get there
lie.
By August 13th.
When's the last time you ran 3.1 miles?
Oh, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Long time. Before
I'm in.
My heel got bad. Yeah.
Is that how long 5K is?
3.1. Jeff, I guarantee you I'm winning.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
You know what?
This recorded, right?
I'm going to lose another 10. I'm going to lose another 10.
I got so much confidence in you. How much do you want to bet, JP? I'm betting on Tony.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, just throwing it
You want to make a little side bet with me? That
yeah.
You take yourself. I'll take Tony.
Wow.
How about an ice cream?
How about an ice cream? Yeah.
Ice cream bet?
That's it. All right.
You don't want – I mean, I'm
Come
just
on,
telling
bro.
You right now. I'm going to bury you.
Ooh.
Do we have to start at the same time?
Yes.
Like run beside
yes.
each other?
Side by side.
Side by side.
All right.
And, you know, I already got the game plan. I'm going to let you hang around for about a mile.
I think so, huh?
And then I'm going to say bye-bye.
Mm. Until you hit those ramps, big boy.
Fine.
You're going
I run hills right now.
Apparently not on the treadmill.
Well,
you just said you went flat.
One time. I try to run twice a week.
Let's go to the phone lines. This sounds like an awesome bet, though. I'm looking forward to beating that.
I wonder who Mac thinks is going to win.
Well, before we ask Mac that, we got to get PK to get the video.
Yeah.
I want video.
Video?
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Kavanaugh's going to do it.
I might go shirtless.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
dear. The odds are shifting now a little bit.
we don't need to do
that. I'm going to go shirtless with those really small dolphin running shorts.
Something wrong with you, man. Let's go to Mac on the north side. What's up, Mac?
What do you think about it? What do you like? You like that, Joe?
Hey, fellas. I don't share any optimism of this season. I am a season ticket holder.
Okay, why?
Why? Here we go. When we destroyed the Colts 50-10, and it was three games left, we lost all the games after that. No Andrew Luck. 19-61 since 2011. Gus is 12-36. Now, don't you think that Tennessee got the same hoopla that we got going? Indianapolis got the same hoopla they're going. We'll go get Andrew Luck back. And Houston got the same hoopla going with Denver's quarterback. So the whole division is equal.
Well, I think everybody has hoopla, with the exception of maybe the Denver Broncos. But
Denver Broncos?
Yeah, because they lost. Everything.
Oh, so you're talking the whole conference.
Yeah, right? I'm talking league-wide. I mean, everybody's got hoopla this time of year. They feel good about where they're at.
Cleveland Browns have hoopla?
In their forecast. Not immediate. But, you know, they feel like, okay, this is the right regime.
Jets have hoopla with no quarterback?
If they get their quarterback in camp.
Yeah, big if.
You know? But, I mean, it's the time of year. But I can tell you
like that, JP.
If you look at the
division, you I'm doing that too.
If you look at the division's rosters, and you compare where those teams were weak, and what was addressed through the draft in the offseason,
I'm going to do that. Let's do an exercise based on that real quick.
Can you really say that any team in the division has gotten drastic? I won't say drastically. Has gotten significantly better, more so than this team right here.
We're gonna. I'm gonna.
I don't think you can.
I'm gonna do a test. Both of you guys answer the question real quick.
You want my answers now? That's great.
Feel sorry for you.
This is nice.
Give me the best. Which team has the best two give me one and two best quarterbacks in the league. In the, not in the league, in the division.
Indianapolis and Jacksonville.
Okay. Give me the best two offensive lines in the conference, in the division.
Houston.
I'll tell you right now, it's Jacksonville. Now, that's not saying much. There's not a lot of good offensive line.
Maybe. Who's playing that's hard. No, that's hard. Okay. It's hard to anoint them.
I'm not, but Jeff, I'm just saying, go look at Indy's offensive line.
No, it's bad.
And go look at the Titans' offensive line.
What about the Dolphins? How's the Dolphins?
Did you watch the guy who they drafted? Okay.
I know.
It's in Dolphins? The division, you idiot.
Oh, yeah, I thought you said in the conference.
No, you're dumb. Talking about the division.
You're dumb.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, okay. So offensive line's a toss-up because there's not a great offensive line in the league.
No, and this team's got
the division.
Gave up a lot of sacks.
I agree. I'm not saying they're best tight end. Best two.
Tennessee in here.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with you, Delanie Walker. Best wide receiving group.
This team.
Houston's number two because they have probably the
they
best
have
wide
DeAndre
receiver.
Hopkins.
They have the best receiver.
Arguably the best in the league.
Best running back group.
You could argue Tennessee. Yeah,
Tennessee, Jackson will be right there?
Yeah. Yeah, because okay. Houston does. Who does Houston even have at the running back position? I don't know.
Colts
don't have anybody.
All right, so that's offense. Defense, best defensive line, best two defensive lines.
Houston.
Houston's JJ. One because they have JJ by default.
Yeah, and they've got a couple other players.
No, but I mean, he puts them on the top.
And who's not Indianapolis.
No.
It's not Tennessee.
It's Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Right there.
Best linebacking core.
Well, Indianapolis doesn't really have anybody steady.
Titans are workmanlike, but pretty good.
Houston's pretty good.
Houston.
Yeah, Houston.
I wouldn't say Jacksonville because they're too young.
No. They're unproven.
Yeah, let's say Titans and Houston, all right? Best secondary.
Houston has proven it.
Houston's won.
Tennessee, no. Indianapolis, no.
No, Jacksonville is with Tashawn Gibson. And Devon House played good football last year. I mean, I don't care what anyone says.
Just didn't get any interceptions.
Yeah, but my whole point is, out of all the position groups, except for two, Jacksonville is one or two in the conversation. Their roster is a better roster. Not than listen, if I was picking right now, if I had to pick, I would, and I'd go this order, I'd probably go, I don't know where, it's a coin flip for me between Houston, Indy, and Jacksonville. Listen, Indy has Andrew Luck, the best quarterback, that gives him an edge. The rest of their roster, I'm not impressed with.
No.
Houston has the best overall defense and probably the best player in the division.
And a question at quarterback.
But a question at quarterback.
And offense.
Skill position in the backfield. Offensive line's getting old. Dwayne Brown's coming off a torn quad. Significant injury. A lot of questions there. Tennessee is – I don't know what they're doing. But I'm just telling you. So I disagree with Mac. I'm not saying this is a 12-4 team or 11-5 even. I think 9-7, 10-6 possibly wins the division.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get one more quick call in. Nick on the north side talking Blake Bortles. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. The last time I called a talk radio show to question whether or not Blake Bortles was the answer to the question, whatever that question is, was the Mike Dempsey show. And even though Mike and I were separated by a river and I was completely anonymous, I actually felt fear to Mike Dempsey's reaction to my comments. And before I get to my comments, I'd just like to ask for a guarantee from one Jeff Loggeman and one Tony Baselli, former NFL greats, that no matter where the discussion goes in the next couple of minutes, that I will be left unscathed.
Okay. Go for it.
I can't guarantee you that. I can't. I'm sorry. Proceed at your own risk.
Okay. I want to just point out real quick, as far as this race goes, this 5K race that Tony's going to be in, that he used to wear a shoulder pad.
We're going to go to break here if you don't ask the damn question.
Get on with it.
Okay. Well, I don't think that Blake Bortles, when you look at the Jaguar roster, when Chad Henne was the quarterback, the roster was real bad, and Chad Henne was average. Now the roster's a lot better, and so I would say that if Chad Henne was still the quarterback, he would be a lot better. And therefore, along with the tendency of Blake Bortles to throw a lot of pick sixes, I think that Blake Bortles is overrated, And I'd like your opinions, please. Thank you.
So, Nick, that was a great call. We're going to go to break because you basically just said you'd rather have Chad Henne than Blake Bortles. And Mike Dempsey's right to want to hurt you. That's a dumb comment. Appreciate it. Call back later.
Now, in response to a legitimate response.
Oh, that was legitimate.
I know yours was. Yeah. But my response to that would be is that the roster got better because Blake started playing and started playing at a high level. I mean, what he was able to do last year, would Allen Robinson be Allen Robinson with Chad Henne in there? I don't think so. I think the reason that Allen Robinson made as much progress as he did, and also because Allen Hurns has been so consistent, is because of the performance of Blake Bortles. You know, it's kind of like, okay, what comes first? You know, the chicken or the egg? Is it the roster's better, or is the quarterback playing better, making the roster better? Now, I think it's a combination of both, but I mean, I think you have to give a lot of credit to Blake Bortles because of, number one, his willingness to push the ball down the field, and it's no different than what Brett Favre went through in a Hall of Fame career. Early on in his career, he threw a ton of picks, and Mike Holmgren had to kind of rein him in and say, look, you know, you're killing us by doing this. And when he stopped doing it, he became the player that he is, which is a Hall of Famer.
Just for clarity, I think the chicken came first. God made him, and then he laid the egg. I just want to clarify that for Jeff.
Appreciate you clearing that up.
Thanks.
But to think that this team would be better or the same with Chad Henne, no.
You gave him way too much justification, way too much airtime for that dumb question.
We're back in a moment. We'll look around the National Football League. I'm going to smoke Tony Baselli in the 5K. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
Follow me to freedom, Tony.
The smack talk in the break is unbelievable.
Jaguars Thursday continues. Check out the Hanania Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings.
You know what, JP?
Yes.
We talked about the race. Mm-hmm. You know what's going to be embarrassing for you? You're going to get beat by a guy with two fake hips.
You asked me what the course was like. I said, hey, just follow me. I'll lead the way. You can just follow my trail. How about that? When I'm going up and down the stadium.
You're
going to
get beat by a guy with two fake hips.
The tortoise in the hair.
Before we get to the league, we got to give a shout-out to John Osier.
Why is that?
Guy's favorite. Today, the Jaguars did their celebration of milestones. He reached his fifth year with the organization today.
Congratulations, Johnny O.
To Johnny O, the senior
writer. Only been 5 years.
5 years.
It feels like 50.
Since he came back and worked for the team itself. He's been around, but with the team. Let's look around the National Football League. Mark Sanchez and a few other professional athletes, Jake Peavy, Roy Oswalt, two pitchers in Big League Baseball, losing $33 million into a ticket business without their knowledge. And that is another story in watching where your money goes.
What's sad about it is it's sad anytime it happens, but sometimes you hear guys losing money by making stupid purchases and not taking care of it or just being just reckless. From the report I read, Mark Sanchez gave the guy – the ability to invest $100,000, and basically the guy stole another $6.9 million. I mean, literally stole from him, forged documents, and I don't know if he created statements or how he did, but he forged documents to take money out of Mark Sanchez's account and those other guys. I feel terrible for Mark and all the guys who got affected by it, and it's terrible. It can happen. I mean, listen, that stuff like that. Can happen to anyone.
The NFL Players Association put out a news release that he was immediately
suspended
because
they
have a basically a financial plan or certification process with the NFLPA. They also put out a notice earlier in the week that there was another guy that is not certified to make sure that everybody was aware of that. You know, and so
The guy needs to go to jail. If he stole that much money, he needs to go to jail. Any amount of money. I mean, it's ridiculous.
There's a lot of other things that probably should happen to him as well, and probably would, and might.
Running back Adrian Peterson said the offseason grind mentally could be a deciding factor of an early exit from the game. Physically, he'll be good, he told ESPN. But like with OTAs, I'm out there practicing. I'm going. I'm putting in work. It's so repetitive. It's more suited towards the young guys and getting them in the system. It gets kind of boring. Do you think AP would quit?
Here's the crazy thing about that. He substantiates his comments going back to the year that he came back from an ACL reconstruction and he worked out on the side the entire time, didn't do a practice or anything that looked to be quite close to full speed for the most part in training camp, and comes out and has his best year ever. So
AP is, what, 31 this year?
He's no spring chicken.
It'll be interesting to watch him, and is he one of the rare guys like a Fred Taylor
is.
That continues to play at a high level, or is he like most guys at this age who all of a sudden you wake up and they can't do it
and it's over?
It'll be interesting because I don't know if you know, because Jeff, let me ask you this. After 3 years of Fred Taylor being in the league, would you have said he's a guy going to play 12 years and still be dynamic?
No, because, I mean, just the history of running backs doesn't prove that. But Adrian Peterson, just when he came back from the ACL, shows that he's not normal.
I get that, but I'm just saying it's remarkable to me all the time. Very rarely do guys, and Adrian Peterson is 31, after the age of 30 can keep it up. I mean, it's a rare bird. That's the greatness of Fred Taylor that I think gets overlooked, not just how dynamic he was at his peak. But he was a 30-year-old back who could
just still fly.
Could still fly, and I don't know what his yardage per year after 30 was, but he played for 12 years, I believe, 12 or 13 years, whatever it was. That's what's so impressive. It'll be interesting to see if AP can do it. Now, he basically got a bonus year when he had the issue with the I don't want to say it wrong.
Domestic abuse.
I was going to say child abuse. I don't know what they finally classified it as, but the family issues he had. With his child. So that's a bonus year of not working. So maybe he'll be a little fresher, but I'm just curious. I don't know. I don't have an answer.
It's going to be fun to watch because I think he's a rare breed.
He is.
He's 6,681 yards away from breaking Emmitt Smith's records. Do you get that?
No.
No.
I think he does.
He's 31 years old. You think he'll rush. So he'd have to average to do that for a little over 4 years.
Yeah, 1,500 yards.
A year.
I think he's got a chance.
I don't think so.
Well done, guys.
35 years old running for 1,500, Jeff. Come on.
Tony Boselli, Jeff Logman, Joe Fortunato, Victoria Edwards in the house tonight. I'm JP Shadrick.
Get ready for the beatdown.
Bring it on, Tony. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.